Thanks. Okay, so I'm up. Hey, everybody. I am Jenna. I'm a person in recovery from alcohol, drugs, many other things. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Marcus, for asking me. I am due in 2 weeks to have a little bambino, and he was trying to find a time when I can get to speak before the child arrives. And it's been quite a long time since I've spoken here. It was like early pandemic. So it's really nice to be here and be amongst my peoples. So I don't know. Let's see. Well, starting with right now, lots of good stuff going on. There's some craziness too, of course, but lots of good stuff that I would not have in my life if it wasn't for recovery. I most likely wouldn't be alive if I didn't stop using alcohol and drugs. So, yeah. I like to start with the fact that as a kid, I never felt like I belonged. Like little kid, I was the classic middle child. I had an older sister, older brother, and a younger sister. And my little sister was the cute one. My brother had learning disabilities, so he always needed help. So I was good on my own. I was independent, and so that led my family to just leave me to my own, and I just felt like I didn't fit in, and I didn't feel cute enough, smart enough, whatever. Whether it was in my head or not, doesn't really matter. But I started, my first escape was in books. I was an avid reader since I was little, and I would we'd be having a big family party, lots of people, and I would be over in the corner reading, and not paying attention to anybody. So, I can see this now, of course, reflecting back. And I had a fairly normal-ish, I guess, childhood. It's, hard to compare, but my parents were not super, they weren't loving. Like there was no I love yous, and hugs and things like that. But we had everything we needed, had food, shelter, all of that. And I didn't see fighting. I didn't see alcoholism because my mother's parents, her whole family, Irish and Italian, were alcoholics and drug addicts. And then we got the mental illness from my dad's side. So they were very careful about like keeping us away from that part of family. So I didn't see any of that, and I didn't have any knowledge about it either. But my father died. He actually just like dropped dead of a heart attack when I was 11 years old, and that pretty much changed everything. As you can imagine, my mom raising these kids, she wasn't working. She kind of went into her own darkness, whatever, and wasn't really a mom for a good year. And so then I started to raise my younger sister, basically 11-year-old raising the 9-year-old. It was just mayhem. And my older brother, he was already into drugs and drinking. So then that started coming into the house. So it wasn't very long. It was a year until I picked up my first drink when I was 12. And I don't remember all the details, but I remember the warm, fuzzy feeling, the booze going down and in my stomach. And then I just remember feeling like I was special. It was like all of a sudden I could tell jokes and everybody wanted to listen to me. And, I didn't feel so different or so ugly or so, whatever it was, from that very first drink, very first drunk. And that is pretty much what I chased my whole life, even with the drugs. It was always escaping from myself, because I was not comfortable in my own skin when I was sober and had no booze, drugs, anything in me. So it's, started out slow-ish. There were parties at my house. There was, and I really took to drinking, loved it, loved being wasted. And from the very beginning, I was a blackout, fall down drunk. I had a hard time stopping myself. And I remember people saying to me over the years, like, you're drunk already. Why are you still drinking? But I could not stop. Like there was the physical, I just couldn't imagine, like why I would stop. If I go out to bar, if I'm home, it didn't matter. So like I was the person that would be drinking until I, my head slammed down on the bar. And I drove home in a blackout and didn't remember. And so many, many things like that, a lot of car accidents. If I didn't have so many damn concussions, I'd probably be a scientist or something. But I can tell you that there's a lot of darkness is the only way I can explain it. You know, if I wasn't drinking or getting high, I was depressed and I didn't like myself. I didn't like being in my own skin. And at some point, a couple years went on, my mom kind of, you know, she got better-ish, I guess, started dating again. And so she met someone who she wanted to marry, so we moved. She thought it would be a good idea to move her. So my sister and I are were running mates for a long time. She's only 20 months younger than me. And so she thought she could like help us out by moving us away from all these bad kids that we were partying with. But we were the bad kids. And that's exactly what happened when we moved to the new town. The very first day of school, high school, you know, we met kids that partied and it just started all over again. And unfortunately, where we moved to, there was a lot of drugs. And I got into heroin very seriously. You know, I hadn't even known about that before. And this new place where we lived was, it was a big, you know, thing. So, and I actually did cut down on drinking for a long time because I was doing heroin. The weird thing when I talk about it and think about it back, you know, I was 16 years old and I shot up for the first time without, it didn't even faze me. You know, someone was like, this is gonna make you feel really good, like better than you've ever felt before. And I was like, I'm in, let's do it. Like there was no fear, no risk assessment, like nothing. I was just like, let's do it. And that was, again, like pretty much how I existed for 12, 15, I can't remember how many years it was, 16 years. I don't know. With drugs, with alcohol, with whatever it was like, okay, you're gonna take me out of me and make me feel better. Let's do it. And oh gosh, in there, there's a mix of like eating disorders. When I tried to control drink, and when I quit doing drugs, then I saw that, and I, of course, again, I didn't know it then, but I can see it now, looking back, that I developed a severe eating disorder, anorexia and bulimia, and it was all about control. You know, I couldn't control anything in my life, and this was my way of trying to handle things. You know, so I wasn't drinking and I stopped doing drugs, but you know, had this severe eating disorder, and then I would go back to drinking. So, you know, a couple of years went on like that. I had gone away to college in, so I grew up in New Jersey. And I wanted to get out of New Jersey because I had decided New Jersey was the problem, not me again. And I did another ge did a geographic on my own, a geographic cure down to South Carolina because that was the furthest I could get away to for college, and it was warmer, and I had, you know, all these reasons, and went down there. And I also was trying to get on heroin again because I was had developed a problem again. And it was successful getting me off the heroin, but then I was back to drinking a fifth of whiskey and, you know, 6 or 12 pack every night. And I mean, you can't tell. Well, I was all like 102 pounds, you know, 5'2". So that was my existence. And, you know, making choices to purchase booze rather than food, or, you know, living off like spaghetti or rice and beans, and so I could have my booze. And lived like that for a couple of years, going to college, working, partying. And I got myself into a really bad situation with I was in bad shape. Like I said, I wasn't really eating and taking care of myself, lost weight, and I ended up in the hospital with a swollen liver. And while I was in the hospital, and I had a minor heart attack. Because of blood pressure dropping or something. But while I was in the hospital, my kidneys collapsed. So it was just like this crazy chain reaction of things that happened. And I was in the hospital, even though I was trying to check myself out. But then I ended up being too sick. And the nurse kept saying, you know, it was like, if your kidneys collapse, you might be done for. You know, you need to get your family here. And I was so friggin' stubborn. Because I was, you know, so independent and I want to take care of things on my own. I didn't even let my family know I was in the hospital because they're up in New Jersey. And then finally the kidneys collapse and I call my mom, she comes down and blah, blah, blah. So I'm on the dialysis in the hospital. And there's like different parts that I remember. And I remember the orderly person wheeling me in for dialysis. And he said to me, what are you doing here? You're 22 years old. Look around this room. And I remember looking around and seeing all older people, and he's like, "You don't belong here. There's something wrong." And I think that was like a first moment of clarity of like, "Oh, maybe there is something wrong." And I honestly didn't know. I didn't understand alcoholism. And I thought to myself, "Well, maybe I do too much drugs, so I should cut those out." And I had had that thought several times throughout my partying career. But what ended up happening is my kidneys came back. The body is friggin' miraculous. I don't know. And my kidneys came back. I didn't need dialysis, and they released me from the hospital. And the nurse made the mistake of telling me that I was a miracle. So, like a good addict, alcoholic, I left there thinking like I'm invincible. I can do anything. And they scared me a little bit, told me I couldn't drink or drug, and like I couldn't even take Tylenol and all this stuff. So I was like, all right, you know what? Let me try this program. And this is back in 99, I think. So it was like all old men, smoky rooms, and I was like, no fucking way. I don't belong here. So I said, all right, maybe it's the drugs. I'll just, get help for my drug problem and moderate drinking. So I went to the other program. And I was there for a few months, didn't drink, didn't do any drugs, and don't remember a damn thing, and I can just say that I was not ready at all mentally to be sober or in recovery, because it was like one day I was offered a drink and that was it. And then it was another 6 years, and that's when it got really ugly. That's when it got to be just drinking to survive. I was drinking in the morning when I woke up because I was so ill. And I was bartending, just to get to work and throughout my shift, and feeling sick and hungover quite often, and always having stomach issues. So a lot of problems that were ugly. And I should say that anyone who questioned my drinking or drugs, I eliminated from my life. I didn't, whether they were a partner, friend, family, I avoided them, didn't talk to them because I didn't want to hear it. And I didn't really ever have God in my life. We were raised Catholic, but my dad died, so it was easy enough for me to say, like, this is bullshit, there's no God. And I didn't really know what I believed at that time. So I didn't, it wasn't anything that was important to me. But I ended up drinking myself sober on a trip in the Florida Keys, and I was away with my buddies, poor guy, and we were just drinking around the clock, and I was drinking tequila at like 7 in the morning and wasted, and then by like noon I was sober. And I remember thinking like, how can I be sober? I've been drinking all damn morning. And I had this like freak out of like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get drunk? Because I just kept drinking and drinking, and I started to cry and bug out, and I called my sister. And funny enough, at the time, she was actually, I don't know if she was in Narcotics Anonymous or not. She was in a program and she was sober at that moment. And I talked to her and I cried and I was like, I think there's something wrong with me and this whole thing. And she's like, all right, when you get home, we'll go to a meeting and da 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 if you need to go to rehab. So I hang up the phone, I end up falling asleep. And when I wake up, however many hours later, boop, that's all gone out of my head. And I was like, let's go out drinking, and I found some pills in my bag and whatever else. So, continued on for a bit. And even when, I'd come home from that trip and I thought something was wrong and I didn't feel right about it. Gosh. And then there was a bad car accident I got into and was arrested. But still, I thought to myself that I should just not be driving, that I should just walk and take public transportation rather than not drink or do drugs. Like that was my best solution. So it went on a bit further. And I think what really ended up getting me was in such a dark place. Like I was done and I wanted to die. And finally, that's when I went to a meeting, and gone to a meeting with my sister. And I didn't really hear what people were saying. I kind of like half listened and cried. And I was like, well, I want to be better, want to feel better. And it took some time. And I started to go to meetings on my own, AA meetings, traditional. And then also there was secular near me because I'm very close to New York City and Jersey City. And I still didn't want, like, I don't know if people here have been in traditional, but I was like, don't touch me, don't hug me, don't hold my hand when we're freaking closing a meeting and, all that crap. And then the prayers and the traditional meetings. And but I kept showing up, but I was not sober. I was still taking pills because I couldn't sleep. I wasn't drinking though. And I was doing my own marijuana maintenance because I was still, like I said, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat. There was a lot of physically ill. And then I finally started to feel better around 60 days. I was able to sleep, eat, and feel better. And I was actually like going to the meetings and cognizant. And then what happened was I actually was so cognizant that I recalled my like all the bad shit I had done, basically. I stealing from people, stealing from my own mother, lying, cheating, like all the crap. And I was like, wow, I am a bad person. And all that realization was enough to make me go, I was about to go out and drink or kill myself because I was not wanting to stay like that, to live like that. And I was fortunate enough to meet this woman in a meeting, and she ended up talking to me for hours outside the meeting. And she gave me hope, and she became my first like real sponsor. And I ended up going through the steps with her. For me, that's what I really needed. I went through the steps, and at some point, the fourth step, a little bit after the fourth step, I realized I wasn't obsessing over drinking or drugging anymore. And because I still, even, it was like however many months into the program, I was still waking up every single day thinking, how am I going to not drink today? How am I going to not get high? And it took some time, and the steps really helped me because I had a lot of shit on my shoulders, and it kind of helped me dump a lot of that baggage, I guess. And seeing my part in things and making amends to people, which was not easy because there were people I thought were going to be easy. They ended up not being. And I'm so, thankful that my mother was alive at the time and I was able to make amends to her. And she was just really happy because both my sister and I were sober at the time. So she was really happy to see both of us get sober. And I was able to pay her back for some of the money I had stolen from her. And beyond that I was like, I was like a good AA for a while and did service and lots of stuff and was very involved. And it was like over time, slowly pull away. And I had a sponsor tell me, we get sober to have a life. And I guess like the big part for me is trying to figure out that balance still, because I tend to do like all or nothing, I'm super involved or not involved, and back and forth with that. And there were some years that I was just going to a couple meetings, not so involved, and some people can are fine like that, and I was okay for a while. And I didn't pick up, but I started acting out in other ways. And it was funny, by the time I'd met Mark, I was like obsessed with doing mushrooms. Like I was so sure that they were going to help me with my mental illness, because I also do suffer from a couple different things, but the bipolar, because all the data that talks about mushrooms healing the neural pathways. And I was like doing all this research and convinced, and telling other people and trying to get them to sign off on that for me. And that was right before the pandemic, and my sponsor had relapsed, and I was like, I don't need a sponsor. I'm just going to do this thing. And again, like some people are perfectly fine that way. For me, if I'm not sharing some of this, what's going on in here, then I can convince myself of anything. And I'm pretty good at convincing other people too, which is bad. That, like this idea is a good one. And, so like I was saying, there's a lot of other things that happened in life after getting sober, and I was able to navigate through it. And it's not been easy. Life is fucking hard, and it's really good to have a community of people to support you and hold you up sometimes. And I fine, that's the only way that I'm able to keep myself honest, I guess, about stuff that's going on and not let, these little things grow and go like into giant things in my head, which is easy enough for me to do. I try to talk to my sponsor, talk to other people when I can and reach out, get out of myself. Like I was saying at the beginning, there's a lot of different things that happen. Like I'm a teacher in high school. I've been for many years, and like if social media existed the way it does now, when I was drinking, there's no fucking way I would be able to be a teacher in front of, kids, because of the stupid shit that I did. But I can, like there's nothing I'm afraid of at this point in my life of like people finding out. It's not like there's anything that I'm doing that I'm ashamed of. And I got married. I'm having a child. Like all these things that I almost didn't think I deserved them at different points in my life. And it really is amazing to see what can happen if I continue to not put booze and drugs into my body, to see what other things might happen in life, which is kind of cool. And I think I'm starting to babble now, so I think I'll wrap it up with I don't know. It's like I was just saying, it's life is definitely not easy, but it makes things a lot better to have a community of people to support you, to be supported, to identify with, seeing your faces here right now. And yeah, I hope everybody has a good 24. Thanks for letting me share.